States Air Forces in Europe.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
The Whistler will continue in just a moment, but first...
And now, the Whistler's strange story. Out of the past.
It was a summer's evening, quiet, calm, matching the gentle atmosphere of the quaint artist town, Cypress Point, on the California coast. Prince Harwell was calm, too, before he entered the drugstore. Yes, he could even take pleasure from the fact that the local newspaper was to run his picture in an early issue under the heading, Architect to Wed Local Novelist. There would be a story about the homes Clint had built, too, the pertinent facts about his background. And there would probably be little if any mention of the accidental drowning of his wealthy Aunt Catherine Harwell. In a drugstore, Clint waited with his back to the proprietor and the customer that he was waiting.
That be all, Mr. Mueller?
Yeah, I think so, Doc.
No razor blade, toothpaste, anything like that.
I got them all, Doc.
Well, I'll just wrap up these things for you. I'll be right there.
There's no hurry.
Any more trouble with those protection racketeers, Mr. Willis?
Well, I keep hearing from them. It's a dreadful thing, you know.
Yeah, terrible.
I certainly wouldn't give in to them.
Here you are, Mr. Willis. Drop in again.
Sure thing.
Good night, Doc. Now,
I believe I know what you want, Mr. Harwell.
Yes, sir, your picture. You got them developed, Doc?
Oh, certainly. I do all that work myself. You know, I have the lab in the back.
Oh, I didn't know.
Really? With all the seasons you've been coming down here?
Well, anyway, they're ready. I
think they turned out fine. Let's see now. Check the file. Razor.
There's Harwell. Here you are.
Oh, thanks, Doc.
How much is that?
$1.30.
There.
You, I hear you're settling down here now. For good.
Yes, that's right. I'll build a few houses. New types. Give me a chance to experiment.
By the way, Mr. Harwell, perhaps this isn't the time to mention it, but this is the first time I've had a chance to. I'm awfully sorry about your aunt. She was such a wonderful person.
Yes. Yes. Good evening, Doc.
Good evening, Mr. Harwell. Drop in again.
Half a block from the drugstore, in the bright glare of a store window, you pause. Take out the photographs and glance through them until you reach the last one. Just a simple shot of the scene. Yes, that was all when you took the picture. But now there's something else, isn't there, Clint? Yes, a woman's face. Almost as if she's smiling up at you from the sea, from out of the past. The face of your late Aunt Catherine, whose money has given you the independence you've always wanted. Seems impossible, doesn't it, Clint, that the pharmacist or anyone could know that you were directly responsible for your aunt's death. But you must learn what's behind this altered picture of your aunt. You're certain it's a double print. Why? You know where to find that answer. You hurry back to the drugstore. It's almost closing time. Doc is talking on the house phone, and you slip inside and hide in the phone booth.
Oh, it's been a busy day, all right, but I'm closing up now.
Careful.
Take care of yourself. Good night, Mr. Lester.
The minutes seem years as you wait, don't they, Clint? Then finally he's gone. You hurry from the phone booth to the dark room in the back of the drugstore. You close the door. Snap on the light.
Good law.
Surprise, Mr. Harlow.
Quit.
Thought you'd have my dark room all to yourself.
Yes, I did.
Phone booths don't make very good hiding places, Mr. Harwell. I sort of figured you might have something on your mind, something to do with pictures.
Yes. These pictures on the wall, I'm afraid I don't understand them, Doc. Not at all.
Is it so hard to understand, Mr. Harwell, that I'd want to surround myself with reminders of people I was fond of, who'd been good to me? Your aunt was especially kind to me, Mr. Harwell. She helped me open this door years ago.
I didn't know that.
There were many things about your aunt you didn't know. You didn't talk to many people, but we were real good friends. She told me lots of things.
All right. So you and Aunt Catherine were good friends. And this snapshot, her face looking at me from the sea, was all your idea, eh, Doc?
Just a simple double exposure, Mr. Harwell. Call it bait if you want to. The point is, you rose to the bait.
Why? Why did you do it?
When your aunt drowned last season, Mr. Harwell, I went along with the accidental verdict the sheriff handed down. I was too shocked then to remember some of the things she told me.
Like what?
Like how you wanted money to build those arty houses you designed and marry Louise Phillips, a nice girl. But a girl who's always had everything she wanted.
Is that all, Doc?
No. She also told me she was afraid of you. Afraid you might hasten her death.
I don't believe that I'd say any more, Doc.
She was afraid of the ocean, too. She loved to look at it. But deadly frightened to be on it, especially with you. The ocean is such a natural place for an accident to happen.
I've heard all I intend to.
You don't have to hear any more, Mr. Harlow. I think the sheriff might be interested in what I had to say, though.
No, Doc. No. You're not going to the sheriff.
Oh, yes, I am.
No, you're not, Doc. My aunt told you too much. And you're not going to say a word against me.
You can't stop me, Mr. Harlow. There's no way.
There's one way, Doc. This way.
Seems minutes later, doesn't it, Clint?
Minutes that are actually seconds. When you stare at your hand, at the heavy piece of photograph equipment that it holds, and then you glance down at the floor of Doc's darkroom, react again, shot clear through at what you see.
I did it. I've killed him.
The quiet, the calm of the early evening, the peace of mind that seemed to be yours only a few short hours before. The next morning, it's all there.
Extra Sunrise Edition, Russell Douglas, Foul Play. Read all about it. Sunrise Edition, Russell Douglas, Foul Play.
Hello.
Claire?
When you get back from the city. Your shopping tour successful?
Oh, yes. You asked me to dinner, you know I wasn't going to miss that.
Oh, yes. Of course, tonight. Fine, Louise. I'll call for you around 8. Is that all right?
Oh, fine. Well, here we are. Can you come in for a nightcap?
Oh, pleasure.
Just unlock my little hacienda.
I bet you missed this thing away all week.
Oh, I did. I couldn't decide which I missed more, my house or my fiancé.
You know, we've never talked about our house. I'd want to design it very specially, a big one for us.
Big or small, what's the difference? Sit down, darling. I'll get tomorrow.
Well, there could be a great deal of difference, Louise.
Well, not in the number of newspapers that pile up when you forget to tell them you're going to be away.
I suppose not. Of course, the only news in this town today is about the killing of Dr. Ainsley. Poor devil. Oh, and about the curio store fire.
Yes, I know. I threw all the papers away but that last one. Did you read about the witness?
Witness?
To what?
The angry judge. Here, read it while you have your drink.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
O.B. Willis, the man who owned the curio store, was hurrying to the fire when he saw the killer rush out of Doc's drugstore. He says he could identify him if he saw him again.
See what?
Well, that's what it is. Why, Cliff, what's the matter?
Huh? Oh, nothing. Nothing, really. I was trying to remember something important. Something had to do with it this evening.
Well, you didn't look so stricken about it. Besides, I'm the only thing that's important to you.
I know. A call, Louise. A call I must make tonight. It's quite important.
Well, all right, darling. Make a call. Phone's just at your elbow, you know.
No. No, I mean, I can't make the call here, Louise. It's, well, a little surprise. It has to do with our wedding, darling. It's a secret.
Why can't? How romantic.
I really hate running out on you like this, but you do understand. It's rather special. Very important. It is important, isn't it, Clint? Not a call, but a hurried trip you're forced to make to catch the last edition of the local papers before they hit the street and stop your picture from being published. Yes, you must stop it, Clint. And you hope there's still someone in the copy room as you pound on the door. Hello.
Say, look, I've got to talk to the editor or whoever's in charge.
No. Well, I'm the man, I reckon. Right now.
Yeah?
I'm in charge.
Good, then. I'm not too late. My name is Harwell, Clint Harwell. You're running my picture tomorrow, and I want it stopped. I have a perfectly good reason.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Sorry. What do you mean?
Well, nothing that can be done about it, mister.
But, see here, you're in charge.
I'm your man, all right. But only because everybody else is going home. Yeah, paper's all printed up, been called for in the delivery truck, so it suits any time now.
Then why did you tell
me that... Mister, I'm the janitor. I've got to sweep up now. You mind if I get back to my work?
You're too late, aren't you, Clint? And you know what will happen as soon as O.B. Willis sees your picture in tomorrow's paper. He'll go to the sheriff, identify you as the man he saw running out of the drugstore the night Doc Ainsley was killed. You decide there's only one thing to do, don't you, Clint? And 10 minutes later, you arrive at a small cottage near the beach. You push through the gate. You hurry up the path to the front door, then ring the bell.
Come on, answer the door.
Shut up, Clint. Be quiet, will you?
You look up, peer through the darkness to the second floor window of the house next door.
You looking for Mr. Willis?
Yes.
Well, he's not home. He went out a couple of hours ago. You from the insurance company?
Insurance company, what, no.
Oh, he's been expecting one. The reason I have. His store burned down last night. I suppose you heard about it.
Yes.
Imagine that's where he is now, down at the store with the workmen boarding up the place. Why don't you try there?
Well, thanks, but it's not important, really. I'll see him in the morning.
It's 8 blocks from Willis's house along a tree-lined street, past Doc Ainsley's drugstore to the curio shop. And when you arrive there, the place is deserted. The workmen have gone. You stare at the charred remains of the building, and then turn and walk across the street to the lunch counter.
Evening, sir. Want to see a menu?
No,
I'll have some
coffee.
Please.
Please.
So I've got some nice blueberry pie.
Coffee.
Oh, anything else for you, Sheriff?
Not a thing, Ella.
How about you, Mr. Willis?
Hello?
Willis. Your eyes move quickly along the mirror behind the counter and settle on the round-faced little man sitting next to the sheriff. O.B. Willis, Clint. The man who can identify you as Doc Ainsley's killer. Turn around, pick up the newspaper lying on the counter.
Good night, Ella.
Good night, John. Come on, fellas,
thanks. As the door closes behind them, you breathe a sigh of relief, don't you, Clint?
That was close. Too close. You look up from your newspaper and glance toward the front door. They're standing there, the sheriff and Willis, talking quietly. You watch them out of the corner of your eye, your heart pounding wildly. Nah. Finally, they move away.
Here you are, sir.
Oh, thanks. Here, here you are.
Wait, you're on drink, you call?
No, sorry, I just remembered a very important appointment. Very important.
You step out of the lunchroom, see Willis and the sheriff part company down the street. Moving quickly along the shadows, you hurry after Willis, the witness group, the man you've got to sight of. You're only a half block behind him now as he makes his way along the deserted, dimly lighted street. Then he turns into the park, slumps down on a bench, and lights his pipe. You circle through the trees until you're standing directly behind him. And then...
Hello!
Quickly, you draw back into the shadows as you see a man approaching.
That you or me?
Huh?
Oh! Evening, Frank.
Evening.
I thought you were still in San Francisco.
Oh, I got back this afternoon. Oh, good to sit down. Been on the go all day. Hey, what's been going on here, Lazaway?
You heard about that?
Yeah. Shame. Doggone shame.
Tell me you saw the killer.
That's right, Perry. Running out back of the drugstore.
Good look at him, did you?
I sure did. I'd recognize him anywhere. I was on the way to the fire when I saw him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear about your fire, old dude.
Them protection boys, huh?
Yep. Well, one of them called me at the house a little before 11. Said it was too bad I hadn't joined the association because something was going to happen to my store.
I get like that.
And that's when I ran down to the store. I got there a little too late.
And you're insured.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a good thing, too. Had a lot of money invested in that shop.
You know, B, I've been thinking. Maybe there's some connection with Doc's murder in the fire at your place.
How do you mean?
Well, them protection boys again. At the time, some of them were over at Doc, putting the pressure on him to sign up. Maybe they pressured too hard. Still, Doc, that could happen.
Hey, Perry, I never thought of that.
It could have happened that way, O.B. Sure could have happened just like that. Yes, sir.
He's right, isn't he, Clint? The blame for Doc Ainsley's death could very well be placed on the hoodlums who burned down Willis's store. And they could be blamed for killing Willis, too. It's a perfect setup. You hurry to your home, slip your revolver into your pocket, and then drive back toward the home of O.B. Willis, parked in the shadows a block away. Then you walk to a spot directly across the street. Wait in the dark behind a palm tree for Willis to return. After what seems hours, Willis finally appears. By the time he reaches his front door, you're right behind him.
Willis, open the door. Get inside.
Well, wait a minute.
You heard me. Open the door. And now, inside.
Who are you? What do you want?
You don't recognize me, do you?
Well, it's so dark in here.
All right. Pull the shades down. Then we'll turn on the light. Yeah. Close the windows, too. And now the light. Well, recognize me now.
What? No. I don't know you.
Take a closer look.
I'm sorry, but I never saw you before.
You're lying.
No. No. No, I swear.
Last night on your way to the fire, you saw me run out of the drugstore. I heard you say so tonight.
Please, I didn't. Wait a minute. That gun. What are you going to do?
Can't you guess, Mr. Willis?
No. No. Someone will hear you.
Not with this pillow and the windows down.
But you don't get it. Let me explain.
Sorry, Mr. Willis. But it's too late for that.
Thank you. island, isn't it, Clint? O.B. Willis is dead, and you know who they'll blame for the murder. Yes, the hoodlums who set fire to his store because Willis wouldn't join their protective association. It's as simple as that, isn't it? And you're certain that you're in the clear. You slip your gun into your pocket. You'll drive to the beach, toss it into the sea. And then the only link connecting you with the killing of O.B. Willis will be missing forever. Turn out the light, open the front door, and start toward the street. And then you stop, stunned, as a car stops in front of the house. It's the sheriff's car.
Hello? Sheriff?
Who are you?
Clint Harwell. I'm a friend of O.B. He just stopped by to see him. Found the door unlocked and went inside. He isn't home.
No?
No, I went all through the house. Nobody there.
Sheriff, do you think he should have gone back to the store?
Yeah, probably. Oh, Mr. Howell, this is Johnny Fane, insurance adjuster from San Francisco.
Fane? Pleasure.
Mr. Fane is here to settle things with Willis.
Oh? That's right. You see, we found the man who set fire to Willis' store.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Had an eye on him ever since Mr. Fane's company tipped me off about him 6 months ago.
Man's a well-known arsonist. Burned down 2 other stores in 2 other cities during the past 8 years.
Now, wait a minute. You mean that O.B. Willis?
We're convinced he set the fire to his store himself.
I don't understand. What about the men who threatened him, the protection racketeers?
Just a gag. He's used it before, too.
But he couldn't have set the fire at 11 o'clock last night.
No, I know. He said he was walking past Ainsley's drugstore. Saw Doc's killing. Sure. That put O.B. half a mile from the fire when it started. So he wanted us to believe.
You mean he lied?
That's right. Willis didn't see Doc's killer. He wasn't anywhere near the drugstore at 11. He was setting fire to his curio shop.
No. No, it can't be.
Well, we're going to go on inside, wait for Willis to show up. Oh, you better come with us, Mr. Harlow. You don't mind, do you?